Thank you so much for the opportunity to serve you, and thank you so much for your love and your grace that you pour upon us every day. Help us never to take that for granted. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. God's love and grace is awesome. We see that displayed upon us over and over every single day now. To the point where people sometimes take it for granted. They don't really appreciate all the many blessings that God has poured upon this world. All the grace that's being poured upon all mankind throughout the world today. The grace that is so awesome, especially when you compare it to the wrath of God. God's wrath that has been poured upon this planet in the past, upon mankind throughout the histories, that has been reserved, that has been stayed, being held back. We've been studying in Numbers today, we'll actually cover that again as we get into it, about Korah and those that went up against God and how God's wrath come down upon them. And how today we are so blessed because Jesus Christ has paid the price for all of us, each and every one of us, and has stayed that wrath, stayed that judgment, has stopped that. Granted, there will be a day of accountability. There will be a day of God's wrath. There will be a day that comes upon this planet like has never been seen during the tribulation, during the first part of it, and during the mid part of it when it changes and goes into great tribulation, such as what this planet has never seen. And this planet has already seen a lot of the wrath of God poured upon it. But the things that will be poured upon this planet during that short time are beyond what we can imagine in fear and terror and judgment upon this planet. I mean, so much. But yet people just go about their lives without any concern whatsoever, without any notion of anything that would bring them accountability. As if they have a free reign to do whatever they please, and there's never anyone to answer to. That's a deceit of the devil. It's been poured upon them and taught to them from schools all the way up through their lives. When they start pushing this whole evolution thing, people start believing that they're nothing more than evolved pond scum, then they feel like the survival of the fittest. Do whatever they want. And nobody to answer to. When you're dead, you just go back into the earth and that's it. All there is to it. So do what you can do when you can do it, and have at it and enjoy life the way you want to. Lie, cheat, steal, whatever. Because when you die, you're just gone. It's over. So you might as well take advantage of every moment that you have here in this world to take everything you can take and enjoy it while you got it. That's the attitude that people have out there. Instead of realizing that what we have is a situation, an opportunity to live here on this planet for this short time that we'll be here. A stepping stone to what is next. A stepping stone to the eternity where you will spend that eternity depends on whether you have trusted Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior or not. If you have not, the wrath of God will come upon you at judgment day. We have so many examples of this. I mean, it goes all the way back to Genesis, of course. All the way back to the garden there, when Adam and Eve first messed up. When they first decided to listen to Satan instead of God, to ignore the simple instructions that God had given them. Thinking that they can do what they want, they can elevate themselves up to be equal to God. That was instilled in them by Satan, that they could be lifted up, be equal to God. And that's some of the teachings of some of the foreign and false religions of the world today, that they elevate themselves on up. That if you can work enough and do the right things, that you can achieve divinity. Not like that. There will be someone you have to answer to. The one who spoke everything into existence. The one that blesses us with the very breath that we have within us. Adam and Eve messed up in chapter 3 of Genesis. As we know, they were tempted of Satan, and they ate of that forbidden fruit, and the Lord came upon them. Let's pick it up in verse 14 here. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14. And Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? What did she do? She merely reached out and grabbed a piece of fruit and ate it. You think, well, what's the big deal about that? It wasn't the big deal about just reaching out and grabbing that piece of fruit. It was the fact that she did that with the intent of going against what God told her not to do. The blatant disregard for what God has said. That is the sin. That's the sin of this world today. The blatant disregard for God's commandments, for God's instructions, for God's guidance, for the blessings that God has available to us. Total disregard for that. And that's what this was an example of. That's what this displayed. The simple act of reaching out and taking a piece of fruit and eating it and then sharing it with her husband there, that was that blatant disregard for God's will. That's where the sin was. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. A curse upon mankind, upon the animal world, upon the entire planet, upon all creation. Because we know now in the New Testament it tells us that all of creation groaneth and travaileth. That means the entire creation, everything that was spoken into existence, was altered that day. Perfect paradise, perfect conditions, everything was altered because of the blatant disregard for God's will, for God's commandments, for God's guidance, for God's love and grace. And what happened? The wrath of God was poured upon them in this. They died instantly right there. Not the physical death, but the spiritual death. The separation of the relationship that they once had with God was severed, torn apart by their blatant disregard for His will. Another example of this judgment that come upon all of the world, of course, is the great flood. Mankind had gotten so evil that God's patience ran out once again on waiting on them to come back around, and decided that He was going to pour His judgment upon the entire planet. Not only mankind, but the animal world itself. The entire planet was altered because of the blatant disregard for God's will and desires for our lives. Same thing as with Adam and Eve. The entire universe was cursed because of that action. Now, the entire planet, once again, is altered because of the sin of man. The wrath of God being poured upon this entire planet. All the millions, possibly billions of people that were on this planet, and all those animals, all killed because of sin. Only Noah and his family and the animals that God called onto that ark were saved, were given a pass, were given salvation through their obedience and trust in their Lord and Savior, and coming onto that ark. And in Genesis chapter 6, In verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Notice that it wasn't just to man. He could have just took out mankind. But this sin actually overflowed into the behavior of the animals. Because we've seen this displayed back when Satan used the serpent to beguile Eve. And now we see that this evil attitude was even in animals. Think, well, wait a minute, animals can't be good or evil. If you've ever had a dog or a cat, you know they are very capable of being evil very quickly. Or very nice and kind. Or any other kind of a pet that you could have. You can see that there is emotion that is there. And we know that through the scriptures, they can be possessed by demons. Satan can actually indwell them and use them. And this had gotten so bad, even the attitude of the animals, to where he destroyed all life on the planet. Not in the oceans, of course, but on the dry land. Anything that had the breath in their lungs, it says. The judgment came upon them. In verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Does it say, but Noah was righteous and walked straight and narrow and followed all the commandments and was a worthy person? No, he found grace. And what is grace? Unmerited favor. God picked a man and his family. That man stepped up and received the free gift that was given to him. Just as we, when we are chosen to become part of the family of God, it's by the grace of God that He puts upon us. He calls us in by the power of the Holy Ghost. Say, here, I have something free I want to give you that's going to help you in this lifetime and for eternity. Just receive it. Noah had that opportunity, and he took it. And he received that. And that grace was put upon him. And the ability to do what the Lord wanted him to do, to build that massive ship and prepare that. And all those animals come in to him and his family. Him and those seven others come into that family. I mean, come into that ark and were saved because of the grace of God that was poured upon him. And of course, as we know, in verse 17, "And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life. From under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female." And it goes on to explain about the clean and the unclean, and the ones that were chosen and the ones that were given that pardon, that ones that were given that grace, the love of God poured upon them, and they were saved. And of course, that all started over after the end of the flood, mankind spreading throughout the world. But sin still remained there in them. And of course, once again, we see another event taking place where the judgment of God comes upon more of a surgical event now, not a worldwide judgment falling upon all mankind, but a particular city and surrounding communities had gotten so evil that God once again said, that's enough. I've had it. My judgment is going to come upon you. My grace is being pulled back from you. I'm going to destroy this entire region. And of course, we're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. Because of the sin of that city, the wrath of God was about to be poured upon all them. And he comes and he talks to Abraham. And Abraham says, well, if there be enough people there, would you spare them if there are some righteous people? And of course, he goes down through the numbers and all the way down to where it's just Lot and his family that gets pardoned. Because Abraham stepped up and asked the Lord to pardon him. And he does. The Lord allows Abraham's nephew, actually, Lot, to come out of that city. And his wife and two of their daughters. But the wrath of God is poured upon that city, and it is destroyed, as we see in Genesis chapter 19. We'll just pick it up here in verse 24. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. He fried it all because of the sin, because of the blatant disregard for God's will. Lot's wife had the opportunity for salvation there. She was being brought away from that. She was walking away to safety. But she looked back. She had her heart's desire still in Sodom, and they were told not to look back. But she looked back, as it said here in verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Judgment come upon her instantly because of here. I'm giving you an extra opportunity of grace. And yet she turned that down as well. And her judgment was to be turned to a pillar of salt. The wrath of God can come upon us so quickly, so instantly. We've been studying Numbers lately, and this morning we spoke about Korah, the one that came up against Moses and doubted that God was in charge. Doubted that God had chosen Moses and Aaron to lead the children of Israel. And murmuring, complaining, moaning and groaning, Korah decided he's going to lift himself up and take over. Not going to happen. As we pick this up in Numbers chapter 16, let's look at it here in verse 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation against him unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. So Korah got all of his folks that wanted to follow him and wanted to see what was going on, because they had to be curious by this time that, you know, what's the Lord going to do this time? Because they had already seen so many examples of God's judgment poured upon them, poured upon the Egyptians, so many miracles, so many blessings, and also some judgments coming upon them. But this particular one here was very spectacular. That's why I've chose it to give us another example of God's wrath that can come upon us so quickly. But yet now it is kept back because of the blessings that we receive, because of the grace of God. But here, his patience run out with these folks, and judgment come upon them. As we continue in verse 20 here, it reads, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. God was ready to just wipe them all out. But once again, Moses and Aaron say, whoa, wait a minute, you know, let's make this a little bit more precise, precision, you know, surgical. Let's just take the ones that are really causing the problem out. And he fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and thou will have wrath with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Nathan and Abraham. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. So this is going to be the test. This is going to let you know what's going on here. This is going to identify that this is God, not us, that is doing all this. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertaineth to them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Swallowed up by the judgment of God, swallowed up by the wrath of God. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. These are others that it also gathered up against God, against His will, against His graces that were being poured upon them. And others also in the congregation that murmured against God, plague started about and was killing them. And then once again, Moses and Aaron stepped up and prayed and gave incense and burned incense and stood between the dead and the undead, and it was stayed. It was stopped. The wrath of God stopped once again by the prayers and efforts of someone who cared enough to do that, to step up and pray for them and to ask forgiveness for them. We are so fortunate these days that we have Jesus Christ that has done that for us, that has given us grace, that has poured His grace upon us. But we know that there is going to be a time in the future that God's wrath is going to be poured upon this whole planet. We read about this in the prophecies of things to come. We've been studying prophecies lately about all those that have been fulfilled. All of them fulfilled. So detailed. Every little detail fulfilled precisely like it was prophesied. All the way up to what the next great prophetic event to occur, the rapture. And the great tribulation coming. And of course the millennial period. And then eternity. So much to look forward to as Christians, so much to fear as a non-Christian, such as the wrath of God that will be poured upon this planet. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 15, it reads, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Jesus taught us while he was here, teaching the disciples and other followers there, "Fear not what man can do unto you. Fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." What's he talking about? He's talking about fear God. Know that there is a time of accountability. Know that the wrath of God is being reserved right now. There will be a time of judgment. There will be, as it says here, the wrath of the Lamb. Who's that? That's Jesus Christ. He paid the price. He suffered for all mankind's sin of all time. And then he sees the blatant disregard for what he's done, the unappreciation for what he's given, the unacceptance of him as Lord and Savior, the totally disregard for anything he wants to bless us with. They won't even receive that. And someday there'll be a judgment upon this entire planet because of that. And as we know in 2 Peter, it tells about the entire destruction of this planet itself. Melted down to even the elements themselves being burned away in a fervent heat. So much still yet to be fulfilled. The wrath of God. I was talking to a preacher one day about preaching a sermon several years ago about the wrath of God. He said, whoa, you don't want to tell people about that. You don't want to talk about that. I said, well, it comes from the Word of God. If it comes from the Word of God, they need to hear it. Know that God is love. He created love. He has so much love, so much patience. He's long-suffering, as it tells us in His Word. He's hoping and holding out, waiting for more to come to accept Him as His Lord and Savior before this judgment comes upon this planet. But it will come upon this planet. It will be fulfilled. In Revelation chapter 15, and verse 4, "Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest." They will be revealed, they will come true. Over in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, It reads, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." The heavens themselves will be destroyed as well. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The wrath of God that is going to come upon everyone who has not received Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is going to be swift, is going to be severe, and is going to come upon all mankind that have not received Him as Lord and Savior." You can miss all that wrath. You can pass all that by simply by receiving Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And following His guidelines, receiving so many blessings here on this planet and for eternity as a result of that. Grace poured upon us. Grace that is taken for granted. Grace that is turned down. But yet it is right there. He's calling, beckoning us, pleading for us. "Come on in, take it right here. It's free." But yet so many turn away. "No, I don't want to. I want to do my own thing." It's there. Just take it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your grace. Thank You so much for the opportunity of salvation. Thank You so much for Your Word. Help us to encourage others out there to take that free gift that You have available to them and to become part of the family and be able to look forward to all the many, many wondrous blessings, so much we can't even imagine, that can come upon them here and for eternity. Thank You so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.